Amp Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Move along, nothing to see here. You ain't gonna do nothing.
Keeping the heart affected.
Come on, Nimble!
Lift the bang, bro.
Where's you know me?
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. We are here tonight to do something a little bit different. We haven't done a Bellator card in a while. But we are here to do Smack My Picks Up for hashtag Bellator 206, Usasi versus McDonald. Everybody's excited about that, right? I think so. I think it's a big card. I think it's one of the best cards of the year. Now, let me give you a little bit more information, ladies and gentlemen. Bellator 206 will take place on September 29th, 2018, from the FAP Center in San Jose, California. The event will stream live on DAZN, or as Luke Thomas likes to call it, DAZN. Shout out to Luke Thomas. We know you're listening, brother. And, of course, that will be streaming live in the USA, Canada, Germany, Australia, Switzerland, Japan, and Italy. So they stretching it out, DJ Tony. They stretching it out. Anyways, let's get down to the nuts and bolts because we have not been here for a minute. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with us last week. Pam is surviving. She has now been... She's returned home. Anyways, we'll get her in and we'll talk about that, but she seems to be doing all right. So let's go ahead and bring in the first lady of Amp Radio. You can follow her at Pam Dora Bonk on the Twitterverse with two X's on the end, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring her in. Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys. I missed y'all. It's been, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks, 3 weeks for you,
three weeks
for us.
Damn. So we survived a hurricane flow. They're still doing a lot of cleanups as Love Trees and still people without power and houses are completely underwater, still flooded. We made it safe and sound, minimal damage to the house. The yard is trash, so many tree limbs and branches all over the place. But we did okay, and I just flew in from Seattle, gosh, yesterday morning, took the red eye Tuesday night and came in yesterday morning, so.
All right. So, you know, fresh off the plane, you had to get away from the hurricane. I'm glad everybody's safe and sound. I hear there were some trees down, but everything's working out now. But the main question is, have you been able to make it back to your office on the beach yet?
No, not at all. You know, they had the beaches completely closed. So I am actually going to – I'm going to try to go tomorrow before I go to work. So pray with me that I get to my office.
You need to get some sun because you were up there in the Pacific Northwest and there was no sun,
but
I'm
there
assuming.
There is no sun. But you know what? It was pretty. The days that I was there was pretty, but definitely not beach weather like it is here. But it was pretty. Man, I hadn't been up there in a long, 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 long time. So it was nice to – go back that a ways for a little bit, but I'm always glad to be home. I'm such a homebody. I suck.
Yeah, and
I'm
it was good.
Homebody.
No, it was good to see you. The pictures on Twitter of you enjoying your time up there, and of course, I believe you were visiting family up there as well. So, nice to see you guys get away and get some time where you weren't hunkered down with a pretty serious hurricane over top of your heads.
Yeah, that was
very nice.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
It was good to get out. I mean, I was just, you know, you go stir crazy. I know that sounds, you know, compared to what, you know, everybody else lost. I mean, we did well, you know, and it's, you know, you have people complaining about, oh, we didn't have power for 6 days. Well, there's people that still don't have power and they lost everything. So, we're very blessed and we're very thankful that, you know, things turned out the way they did. So. But it was scary.
All right, so I bet it was. But on a more positive note, Pam, I want to throw it to the main man himself. And You know what? DJ Tony has been knocking it out of the park lately with the MMA minutes and you know, recaps of the amped version of the press conferences. So let's throw it to the boss man himself. Of course, as I did not mention at the top of the show, we are joined by the usual cast of characters, but let's throw it to the boss man himself from the mean streets of Danville, California, DJ Tony.
Hey, DJ! It's Tony time, bitches!
Glad to be back, guys. It was a little crazy there for a while. My life was turned upside down, but thank God I have you guys as friends, and things are going pretty well as could be expected. So glad to be back, guys, and a huge card at Bellator 206.
I know it.
So what you're saying is your life got flipped, turned right upside down?
It was turned into the zone, my friend. The zone.
I love it. I was trying to make a song reference there, but that's okay. Nobody caught it. All right, so let's go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Tony, I wanted, as I said at the top there when I introduced you, I mean, knocking out of the park with the MMA Minute and on all the things that you do to bring out the extra content. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we were off last week, but Tony was there, the press conference, and the in cage. I don't think you did in cage this week, but Tony, you did do the press conferences. So we were caught up on what happened in Brasilia. It wasn't Brasilia, but it was in Brazil. And I don't know how many people watched that card live, but I caught up on it. And maybe we'll get to that at some point, but I don't think so, because we got a huge Bellator card to talk about, like you said, Tony. But let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show. I don't know, Tony, if I gave your Twitter handle out, so I'll give it out right now. You can follow Tony at I'm DJ Tony. Of course, Marco will cover this at the end of the show, but I just thought we'd give it to you again. Let's bring in the star of the show. Deep from the heart of Texas. That's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, Roar. ¿Qué pasa, dudes? I am snoozing
on my new living
room. Snoozing on my new living room set and my reclining couch. If I fall asleep, just talk loudly and wake my ass.
and just to give out your Twitter handle real quickly, at Maldo Marco is Marco's Twitter handle. And just to give you a little inside baseball, and I called Marco about a half an hour to make sure he was ready for the show. He was telling me he was asleep on that new set, so it must be working out good for you, Marco.
I love it. Every second of it, man. I'm so spoiled with this new couches. So spoiled. Oh, my God, I needed it. I treat myself to something new, you know. The other living room was getting way out of shape. It was time to get rid of it, and I could say, no, let's do it. Let's just do it. You know, we went to the furniture store, and we got it delivered yesterday, and I cannot get enough of it.
Perfect. That's
MMA,
what we'd like
brother.
To hear.
Let's talk
absolutely. MMA. Absolutely. You don't have to force my hand on that one, Marco. I just wanted to remind everybody from the PSA minute that I sent out 2 weeks or a week and a half ago. Marco is the champion coming into this particular card because Pam had to give up her belt because of Hurricane, and
Marco
got
that.
Oh, wait
a minute. Did I win a belt?
She got it.
I didn't even know that. See, you're pulling a Dana,
wow.
Stripping me when I'm not even looking. That's a Kulo.
You know what? You know what you should do, Kulo? You know what you should do, Kulo, is listen to the show when you're in a hurricane. I'm just joking with you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's too funny.
Pull
me
that
little
right,
booty
so guys,
doll with your name on it.
Let's move on to Bellator 206, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody wants to throw in their sound bites. Let's just move on because we've got to the middleweight division we go. Gegard, sweet and sassy, Musasi, champion in that particular division, coming at us at, 44 wins and 6 losses. I mean, nothing to sneeze at, Tony, but I know, as Tony likes to say, I mean, it's a lot. That's a lot of fights against your boy, the Red King, Rory McDonald. 20 wins, 4 losses. Of course, he is fighting out of Kelowna, British Columbia. Good Canadian boy. And also is the welterweight champion, ladies and gentlemen, putting his title, well, his reputation, mainly, on the line here against Sweet and Sassy, Gegard Mousasi. Pam, let's throw to you real quickly to get your thoughts on this fight, Pamela.
Oh, my gosh.
We're excited about this fight, right?
I have been wanting this for forever, but now that I have it, I don't want to pick.
Of course.
You know? I mean, this is going to be, I think it's going to be a really, 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 really great fight. You've got Gegard Mousasi.
I love how you rolled it
judo.
There.
You love that? Oh. He's a black belt in judo. Oh, he's on a 7-win streak. 5 of those wins are by TKO. His last loss was in 2015. He has losses to Head Case Hall, Jacare, and Lyoto Machida. And you're looking at Rory Mack. Who's the current welterweight champion. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He also has won 7 of his last 10. He has losses to Wonderboy and 2-time losses to Lawler. But his last TKO was in 2015. And this is what I surmised about this. He and Robbie Lawler have not been the same since their last 2 fights. And I hate to say that because, man, I love, you know me, I'm a Rory Mack fan. I love Gegard Mousasi. This is a fight that should have been made in the UFC, but, you know the emperor, whatever. But you know what? Truth be told, I'm going to have to go with, I got to go with Gegard Mousasi on this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, this is a fight that you don't want to pick between. But look at it this way. Rory just had a baby. He just got married. He, you know, the Rory that we're seeing is not killer turtleneck wearing Rory Mack. You know, he's too happy right now. And I don't know if he's a little bit too zen where I think Gegard Mousasi still has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder from being released by the UFC. So I've got Gegard Mousasi. I'm going to go with a decision. I can't see Rory being knocked out. I don't see him being submitted. So I'm going to go with a decision by Gegard Mousasi.
All right. I mean, that's fair enough. Tony, I mean, Pam makes up some good points here. And, of course, Gegard being the bigger man, I mean, we say that because – he is a champion at a higher level or a higher weight class, but Rory McDonald is no small welterweight. And of course I would have to believe that he's probably, you know, not worried about cutting weight on this one, but he probably might be a big fella coming into this fight. So Pam has taken Mousasi by decision. What you got here, brother?
Carl, I'm going to take the odds of the average or the average or whatever you want to call it. The law of average.
Right.
Here's the thing. Gegard is on a run that's incredible. I mean, beat Talis Latis. Listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, you guys know what a huge Uriah Hall fan I am, but that was fluky when Uriah Hall TKO'd Gegard. I mean, he lost to Jacare, but since then, two fight win streak with Henderson and Filippo, loses to Uriah Hall in a fluke, beats Talis Latis. Thiago Santos, basically the same person, joking. Vitor Belfort. Vitor Belfort, right? Uriah Hall made his comeback, obviously KO'd him in the first quickly. Chris Weidman, who hasn't been the same. Alexander Shevchenko. Rafael Carvalho is a legit fighter, guys, and he destroyed Rafael. But you know what? He was getting tagged. There's something about Rory. And I guess I'm putting my Rory hat on here, but there's something about Rory that I think has unfinished business. He's also not on a long win streak, right? Lost to Lawler, lost to Thompson, beat Paul Daly. Douglas Lima, guys, is no joke.
And we already know how that fight came out. He basically limped and got that fight. But I think he's already fought people like Tarek Saffiedine, right? And basically, Jay Garvin-Fossey in a heavyweight or a larger version. So I think I'm going to – listen, logic tells you to go with a bigger man in Gegard. It's his division. He is strong. He's looked great. But I'm going to give it to the Red King. I think there's something
out
there. So I'm giving it to the Red King, and I think he's going to submit Gegard. Not joking, guys.
Wow.
In the third. So, Horry, I'm going out on a limb, guys. Horry McDonald, the head king, with the third round submission.
I see what you did there. Guys, quickly, before I make my pick, I'm going to give you the odds. And, of course, DJ Tony has made this very, very simple for me today. So I thank you very much, Tony. These are coming from bestfightodds.com. I'm going to go from five dimes because there's been some movement on Horry on this particular fight. Gegard coming at us at a minus 270. Of course, he's the favorite, as Pam would like us to take in. And Horry coming back at us at a plus 230. But there has been movement on that line. There is money coming on in on Horry. I don't think that I can take your position on this one, DJ Tony, just because of who Gegard Mousasi is. I want to give Rory McDonald his due in taking this fight. And of course, I mean, we can all look back to the GSP fight against Michael Bisping and go, you know what? It doesn't matter. And it probably, I don't know, man. It's like Pam says, it's a hard one to pick. It's very exciting, and I hope Bellator does very well on this. I don't think they will because it's on DAZN, but that's neither here nor there. We'll see what happens when the mail comes out, when it washes out in the mail. I have to take Mousasi, though, guys. I have to go with decision. I think Rory is going to be as tough as nails as we've seen him be, and I think Gegard is going to have a lot of trouble with Rory's wrestling. I think that if anything, that's where Mousasi is going to have trouble, just like, you know, Bisping had some trouble with GSP in their fight. I mean, granted, Bisping was able to throw those vicious elbows from the bottom, and I just think Gegard is not going to be that kind of person who's just going to lay on the bottom and just take it. I think that he's going to be able to fight back. It's going to be a fantastic fight, and of course, I'm being greedy, and I want to see this fight go the distance just because I think it's going to be spectacular. Now, I also do not want Horry to take on too much damage because, as we know, he's defending his welterweight belt in the welterweight tournament that we will talk about in two fights from now. But I'm going to take Mousasi. I'm also going to take him by decision, Pam. I apologize, but that's what my pick was, so I apologize. Marco, you're the voice of reason. What you got?
Dude, I've been going back and forth with this fight on my mind a
of
lot. exclusively on DAZN, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to get the service or not. I was going to get it last week for the Joshua fight, but I flaked out at the last second. But, look, logic will dictate that Mousasi is a larger man. I mean, he has fought as big as 205 back of his Pride and Strikeforce days. So he is the naturally larger man. I mean, Rory McDonald is not a small welterweight, but I think he can be a middleweight, but he would be like a small middleweight. Mousasi is a pretty sensible middleweight, dude. Like I said, he fought a light heavyweight before. So logic dictated that the larger man is going to win. Rory McDonald is uber talented, and it will not surprise me if he finds a way to win, but we're making a pick right now, and I'm going to go with the logic. I think Mousasi is not only big, but he's skillful, and the skills are going to match the skills of Rory McDonald, and those things being equal, then the size is going to affect the fight. He's going to be able to produce more damage, affecting the fight more, you know, with those significant strikes, and dominating the cage, you know, controlling on the clinch, and stuff like that. Little things that just your natural physical ability and a size will be an impediment for Rory McDonald. If Rory McDonald went great, you'll prove me wrong, but I'm picking Musasi. I'm also picking it by decision because we've seen Rory McDonald being super, super, super tough. I'm going to think it's going to be a close fight, and Rory will be able to take a couple of rounds. So a close 48-47 decision for Gegard Mousasi.
Okay.
Sweet sassy.
Okay, yeah, sweet and sassy, that's right. Hey, listen, Marco, I think you bring up a good point, though, and I think that perhaps Douglas Lima kind of gave Gegard Mousasi the blueprint on how to beat Rory McDonald, yeah? What do you think?
Well, Stephen Wonderfoot also could have given you the blueprint and just stayed outside and just jumped the shit out of him. But,
yeah.
I mean, Mousasi is talented enough to take it to the ground. You know, he's not slouching there. And he's an excellent counterpuncher, too. So a lot of people think that, you know, Rory's just going to hide behind the jab like he always does.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not know how the reach advantage, who's going to have the advantage. I think it's going to be basically equal. I don't got those stats in front of me. But I don't think Rory's going to be able to hide behind that jab because Mousasi is a really, really good counterpuncher.
Talented.
He's going to make him pay for that. Like I said, it's going to be entertaining fight. Entertaining fight, and at the end of the day, Mousasi is going to come up with a decision.
Yeah, both of them have the same reach.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that it? That's all you wanted to say? They both have the same reach?
Yeah,
Pam?
No, I was just letting you know that they both have the same reach. Gegard is 2 inches taller, but they both have the same reach. So I think it's going to be a great fight. Well, you know, I hope
it's going to be interesting.
Fight.
That's what I was just about to say. I think we all want it to be an interesting fight.
Yeah,
and we want it to go five rounds. But I mean, stranger things have happened.
Nobody jinxed it. How about that? Nobody jinxed.
Yeah, well, nobody has tonight, so we're just good right now. Let's go ahead and move on to the heavyweight division. We go, DJ Tony. Your boy, Quinton Jackson. And for all you new fans that don't know what I say, Quinton, you just look back in the archives. Quinton Jackson, age 40, 6'1", 206 pounds is what they're listing him here as. 37 wins, 13 losses against your boy. how do I say this nicely, Marco? No, I'm not going to say it. Don't worry about it. Vanderlei, the Axe Murderer, 42 years of age, 5'10", 185 pounds, 35 wins and 13 losses. Of course, this is the fourth time that we will see this particular fight itself playing out, this time in Bellator MMA. DJ Tony, what you got here?
You know, I'm excited to see this fight with the new episode of Friends that's coming out tonight, so I'm really excited. Oh, this isn't 2008? No? All right, never mind. This fight should not be happening, guys. I don't know who wants. I think we've already seen how this fight ends. Listen, I think we've seen both of these guys have their best days already, right? And Vanderlei Silva isn't the same Vanderlei Silva. 4-8 in his last 12. Beat Keith Jardine. Beat Michael Bisping via decision, by the way. But I'm going to go the other way around, guys. I'm going to go with pure size. And I just think that Quinton Jackson hasn't left, you know, the drive-thru in a while. So I'm going with Quinton Jackson getting the decision win. And, I mean, these guys are going to gas.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
It's going to be terrible.
So-called, come the Dr. Evil quotes here, Proteus. Heavyweights are going to go three rounds. So I'm going Quinton Jackson via boring decision over Vanderlei.
And if you couldn't see it because you're listening to the show, DJ Tony was giving air quotes. Thank you, DJ Tony. I appreciate that one. Okay, so, guys, I think DJ Tony is right here that this particular fight probably didn't need to be put together, but I think for the hardcore fan, it's got some interest. And I'm sure Marco's going to back me up when we get to Marco. You know, I mean, it may be not the glory days, but that's what Bellator is all about. They're rubbing some old school action on these fights. And, you know, as much as I did like Quinton, and I said Quinton, not Quinton, back in the day, and as much as I did like Vanderlei back in the day, I mean, maybe they can return to some of their old form, guys. I'm going to be honest with you, because as Tony had said, the testing might not be as great as it was in the UFC, and perhaps that's why they're here. And people are going to be interested in this fight, Tony. I know you're not, but I think the hardcore fan is going to want to see, you know, a Vanderlei versus Quinton fight. It's been a back and forth battle. I mean, I know it's what, 2-1, Marco, in favor of Vanderlei. But I mean, it's a co-main event, dudes, and it's a spectacle. I do not see this one going the distance. If it does, dude, everybody's tuning out from DAZN for sure. This one's a hard one to pick, though, because Vanderlei and Quinton are just going to go at it, and maybe Quinton has to go back to his wrestling game and drop Vanderlei on his head. I don't know. But right now I'm seeing Vanderlei taking it down by second round KO.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, hang on, Pam. Marco.
Hey, brother.
Let's throw to you, brother, because, you know, as I was saying, you're an old school fan just like me, and, you know, this kind of throws back and harkens back to the old Pride days. What you got here, brother?
First, I wanted to mention, I think I know Eric Anderson fighting on this freaking card.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, ya boy. I saw him fought in Brazil, man. Oh, my goodness. I know that. The guy's fighting a lot. So, you know, when it comes to this fight, you know, this Quinton Rampage Jackson versus Vanderlei Silva, what can I say? Bellator is going to Bellator, man. They're going to throw these fights that they don't really need to happen, but people are nostalgic, so they're going to do it anyway. Quinton is looking thicker than a sneaker because he doesn't like to diet anymore. So he's hovering around around 250. I think he's going to be a little bit thicker than that on weighing day. And Vanderlei is an MMA version of Michael Jackson because he has so much plastic surgery, he doesn't even look the same anymore. But
exactly.
When it comes to
that's
his
what
fight,
I was alluding
man,
to earlier.
When it comes to this fight, my man, look, I got no confidence in Quinton Jackson. I think he's just fighting for a paycheck. He's not really committed to the training. He complains about people taking him down. I mean, Chael Sonnen is, you know, outclassed him when they fight each other on the heavyweight tournament. And Chael Sonnen is a damn middleweight, you know. Vanderlei, for all intents and purposes, he doesn't get out of shape. I mean, you want to say whatever you want to say about the guy, but he's always in shape. And he's still a murderer, dude. I think he's going to be faster than Quinton. He's still hit hard. I assume he's going to come around his walk-around weight of 215, 220. And he's just going to blitz Quinton with his freaking patented hooks and knock Quinton Jackson out late in the first round.
Okay.
I don't have confidence. So until Quinton Jackson showed me that he's committed to the fighting game, that he himself has said that he's not that committed. You know, he's fighting for paychecks now on his latest interviews. I don't have confidence again. I mean, he's training. I'm not saying he's just laying on the couch and doing nothing, but I don't see his heart is enough anymore. And one thing we know about Vanderlei is that he's psychotic and he still loves the game no matter what. So give me Vanderlei Silva by the late first round KO TKO.
Okay, that's fine. We understand. And yeah, I mean, it's been noted that Quinton does not like training, and it has been like that for a very long time. So, Pam, what do you got going on here? Do you got quitting, or do you got Vanderlei?
Quitting. You know, this is another one that was kind of hard to pick because you have Quinton Rampage Jackson, you know, kickboxer, wrestling, boxing, pro wrestling, karate, Vanderlei Silva, you know, black belt in Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu. Vanderlei's last win was in 2013. Oh, my God. What is that, 5 years ago? Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're both old.
Oh, I know. One's 42 and one's 40. Wow. But, no, I know. I get that. But, you know, I had, truthfully, I had Quinton by decision only because Vanderlei has already lost to Quinton. But cardio, I'm looking at cardio. Neither of these guys have cardio, and I don't see it going to a decision. Neither of these guys have knockout power anymore, so I don't see anybody getting knocked out anymore. So what do you do? If it was, I wish it was just a one-round fight, truthfully, because then I could go, okay, decision. You know, they can make one round, I think. But I, you know what, I picked Quinton, and maybe I'm picking him wrong, but I'm picking him by this decision only because he's been just a little bit more active in the ring than Vanderlei has.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Do you got a round and method?
Oh, I said decision. A long
decision. I was just trying to play the joke because of the song.
Woo! Sorry, Miss Jackson. Never meant to make the doctor cry. I apologize a thousand times.
All right, let's move along.
I am for real.
We got to move on because we got two more fights, and I want to get to some news and notes. So let's go to the welterweight division. We go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the start of the welterweight tournament, and I'm very, very excited about this. Douglas Lima, 29-7-0. Versus your boy, one of the OVs, Pam, Andre Koreshkov. But we can pronounce that one. 21-2-0, and of course, this gentleman used to be the champ. Anyways, getting back to what I was saying. Douglas Lima versus Andre Koreshkov. Okay, let's throw to me, Proteus. This is going to be a tough fight, guys, because as we saw in Douglas Lima's last fight, he is a warrior. He was beating up Rory McDonald, punishing that leg. I mean, staying in the fight, and then, you know, Rory took him to the ground. And Koreshkov, the OV, has got some wrestling game, let's be honest, and he's big for the weight division. But I cannot, every time Lima is in a fight, I cannot pick against Lima. He's one of my dudes. He's on Team Proteus. I'm going to take Lima. I'm going to take him by decision. It's going to be a tough fight, though, guys. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a drag him out, beat him down kind of fight, in my opinion, because Koreshkov is not going down lightly. I mean, okay, I'm just going to cut it off there because I got to get to the rest of you. Marco, what you got here, Douglas Lima or Andre Koreshkov? And again, as I mentioned, the first round of this welterweight tourney.
Well, this is a trilogy right now because Lima took the title for Koreshkov, and Koreshkov took the title for Lima, and Lima retook it back from Koreshkov. So
these guys
have been on wars before, you know, five rounders, by the way. They know each other pretty well, and this would split the difference. Yeah, it's a shame that it's not a five rounder though, you know, because these guys are good enough, you know, former champions to fight on a five rounder. It's a three rounder. Look, I haven't seen too much of Koreshkov lately. I don't know what happened to him, you know, because Bellator, you know, Bellator is gonna Bellator.
Yep.
The fight
the
is gonna be here. Douglas Lima, though, you know, he did a very spirited effort against, you know, the current champion, Rory Mack. He showed me his heart, man. He holds the latest win against Koreshkov, you know, the last time they met. So I think he got the upper hand. I'm going to pick Lima just because it's been more visual for me, and it's fresher in my memory. Like, if Koreshkov wins, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the guy got a better record. He's a little bit younger. But just for fun's sake, I'm going to pick Lima by a unanimous decision, 29-28.
All right. Okay, and I just wanted to refresh your memory because the last win by Koreshkov was by spinning back kick KO in July. So
it's not been that so long that we haven't seen Kereshkov, but, you know, it's Bellator. Like in like you said, Bellator is going to Bellator. All right. So let's go to Pamela. Hammer, what you got here?
Okay. Okay.
So, notes.
Yeah, so he did have that. He did have that KO spinning back kick against Basso Psychopath.
DJ, who is your mama? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I'm looking at all these. He had all these wins over these OVs, but over nobody knows who he fought with. So does that even count? So I'm sorry. We're talking Douglas Lima and Andrei Kereshkov. Trilogy fight, and I'm just going to make this short and sweet. I'm going with Lima with the third round KO.
Oh, wow. So far, sorry, what did you get? First round KO?
Lima with the third round KO. Yep.
Third.
I think it's
going
to be a repeat. Well, because if you look at it, when he lost to, hang on, let me go here, Douglas Lima.
Sure.
When Lima lost to him, he lost with a unanimous decision. But when he beat him, with the KO, you know, third round KO. So I'm going to go with that again. I'm giving him a.
All right. Fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, your pick is your pick. I'm not going to argue with you at all. Let's finish this one off with DJ Tony. What you got, brother?
You know what, guys? I used to think that the best two fighters in Bellator before Horry and Gegard Mousasi got there, I thought it was Andrei Kereshkov and Douglas Lima, no doubt about it.
Yep.
And maybe Rafael Cavallo, throw him in there somewhere. And I still think outside of Horry and Gegard, it's probably Andrei Kereshkov and Douglas Lima. But Marco said it best. We've seen this fight before. The first time went via decision. Second time, Douglas Lima KOs Kereshkov. I think Kereshkov can beat just about anybody in Bellator, not named Horry, not named Gegard, not named Douglas Lima. So I'm going to give it to Douglas Lima. And I think it's going to end probably the same way it did last time. Second round TKO for Douglas Lima, and I think Kereshkov is a monster, but Douglas Lima is that good.
Yeah. I wanted to echo your sentiments there. I think that Kereshkov is a beast, and you know, although it's a clean sweep for Lima, I mean, we're just giving Lima the respect that I think we all want to give him for being prolific in the sport for so long. You know, watch out for Kereshkov in that fight. I'm just saying. To the featherweight division we go, DJ Tony. Cue the music. As I said, to the featherweight division we go. Aaron, your boy. Pico, age 22, 5'8", 145 pounds, 3-1 in MMA, ladies and gentlemen, as we know, against Beast. Unfortunately, he has the unfortunate name of Pitbull. Leandro Higo, 5'8", 135 pounds, 29 years of age, 18-4. Who's first this time? Tony, you get the pleasure of going first on this one. What do you got? Tough one.
You know what? It's going to hurt me to say this, because I am such a huge Aaron Pico fan, but boy, they are throwing him to the dogs, aren't they?
All right. I mean,
they are throwing him out
He says he doesn't want easy fights. He wants the tough fights.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he says he doesn't want easy fights, so I guess he's really saying he wants to go 3-2. So I think this kid has a future. But he can't beat Leandro Higo. I don't think. I mean,
no?
Look at who he's beaten, and who he lost to. I mean, he's been given pretty much cans the entire time, and he's 3-1. Now he's fighting Leandro Higo, who was a title contender and something. This guy can fight. He may not be UFC quality top 10, but he can fight. I think it's too much too soon, guys. I mean, Higo lost to Darian Caldwell, who's a beast. Friend to, of course, our very own Pam. But I'm going Higo. It hurts me to say, but I'm going Higo. Let's just say third round submission for Higo.
Okay. Emma, you know, Tony just called you out. You know, he said, said it's your boy. What you got here?
All righty. This is, you know, this is a little bit of an interesting fight because Aaron Pico, Leon Little Eagle, you know, both of them 5'8". Pico has 3 KO wins. His only loss has been by a submission. When you go down to Higo, he has 10 wins by submission. He has a KO loss, 1 sub, 2 decisions. So this is going to be interesting because he did. He did lose to Darien in the first round, 2 minutes and 36 seconds of the first round by a submission. He also has a loss to Eduardo Dantas, 2017 a split decision. I think he might be, especially with those submissions, I think he's going to be a little bit too much for Aaron Pico. I mean, you guys, this guy's still, he's only 22. He's still a baby. So he has a lot of learning to do. This is a hard fight to pick, I think, because everybody, I'm sure, is on
That's
the Pico bandwagon. But you know what? Let me go. I am going to go with Pico. I'm going to go. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to knock him out. But I'm going to say I'm going to go with the decision on this one.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a little. Does the serve a record scratch, Marco? What do you got here, brother? Because I don't know if Pico can handle Higo. What do you got?
I think he does. For all intents and purposes, Aaron Pico is a superior athlete, okay? Better pedigree. And, you know, as good as Higo is, Tony said he's not UFC caliber. His record is mostly built on Brazil. And, you know, those records are questionable at best. You know, in Bellator, where he has actually faced some good competition, he's very touch and go. Eddie Pico, he got a hiccup on his very first match, but ever since then, he has been impressive. He's been knocking fools out and quickly. The guy, his speed is something to behold. Not even counting the fact that he hasn't even used his wrestling yet, you know? I mean, he uses wrestling his curtains because he dictates where the fight goes. I don't want to say it's going to be an easy fight. Yeah, this guy is more experienced than him. But I think the natural athletic ability of Pico is going to overwhelm and overcome, the Eagle, or whatever, how can I say his name? I can't pronounce it right now. I want to be Pico on a second round TKO via ground and pound, man. It's going to be a good experience for the kid. He's going to get out of the first round. He's going to completely overwhelm this guy, showing a little bit of a wrestling 101.
Yeah, this one is a tough one, guys, because I know that Aaron Pico is a phenomenal athlete, but he is facing a guy that only has 4 losses, 18 wins. Yes, they may have come in LFA, RFA, CEF. I mean, but that was in 2015. He's been fighting top caliber people since 2017 in LFA. I mean, we cannot go against that fact. And of course, Darien Caldwell, I mean, that's the last loss that, of course, Higo has. I don't know, guys. I know Pico wants to be fed to those tough dogs. And I know Marco and that he has that athletic ability. And if you look at the last win that he has, it was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to do this against such a tough fighter. I mean, 3-1 is against 18-4 is a hard thing to pick. I mean, he got that first loss. Go ahead, Marco.
Now, like I said, I know it's a different sport, but he got thousands of freaking wrestling matches on his freaking belt, you know?
I understand
And I don't think he's going to go into a striking match with Figo. I think he's going to take it to the ground. He got a smart corner on him, and they're going to want to showcase something different, something that people have really not seen on his MMA career that he's wrestling. And I think this is a fight with an experienced guy where he's just going to take the guy down, raise and repeat until he work him out, and then ground and pound him. That's just my assessment of the whole fight. If he tries to strike with the guy, well, then that's his loss. But I still pick him just because of the wrestling portion.
No, I agree. I did, that's what I was trying to say. I mean, he has the base to totally, negate what Higo has to offer. I just don't know if it's going to be enough against this talented guy. I mean, I want it to be because I'm a big Pico fan. I'm going to take Pico anyways, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take him, you know, with saying that I think maybe Higo is going to be a good test for him, and I'm going to take Pico by decision.
Okay, a real quick note. In Chile, Pico is a slang for dick. That is not a joke.
Wow. Fantastic. Hey, sorry guys, let me just do this real quickly. I did not give the odds on Quentin Jackson versus Wanderlei Silva. Quentin Jackson, a -280. Money is going down on him. Okay, this is five dimes. Wanderlei Silva, Andre Koshkov at a -145. Douglas Lima at a +125. Aaron Pico getting that mad money at a -500 against Leo Handro at a +400. Let me give you the recap of what we have said on this show. Pam is taking Musasi by decision. Tony is taking Horry by third round submission. Crazy. Proteus is taking Musasi by decision. Also Marco taking Musasi by decision. Tony taking Quinton by decision. Proteus taking Silva by second round KO. Marco also taking Silva, also taken by KO, but in the first. Pam taking Quinton by decision. Proteus in the Lima fight is taking, everybody's taking Lima. Never mind, it doesn't matter. That'll work itself out. In this particular fight, Tony taking Higo, third round submission. Pam taking Pico, decision. Marco taking Pico, second round TKO. And Proteus taking Pico by decision. One last fight on this card that we're going to cover, of course, because this is Tony's favorite weight division. And, of course, Tony's favorite fighter. I mean, we cued the music, right? Have we cued the music, or are we going to do... No? We're not going to cue the music? Anyways, to the strawweight division we go.
Out of respect for Gibbler, we are not going to cue the music.
Okay, that's good, because I thought we were going to have lightsabers. All right, to the strawweight division we go. Cue the music.
Oh, man.
Do it again. Just do it again. Edit. To the women's strawweight division we go. Carrie Ann Melendez versus TJ Who's Your Mama, Dakota Zimmerman. Let's go ahead and give you the odds here. Or let's go ahead and Kerry Melendez, 34 years of age, 5'6", 125 pounds, 2-0. Coming out of the scrap pack. Pam's favorite gym against the shadow character, Dakota Zimmerman. 5'4", there's no age for her, 115 pounds, 0-0. Pam.
Yep.
Since this is the
I am
division,
making mine short and sweet.
First. Wait, can you finish? Can you wait for me to finish speaking before you do?
Short and sweet.
What you got?
Kelly and first round TKO.
All right. Sorry. Be professional, Matt. Be professional. First round. Hey, no, I said Matt. Is your name Matt?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Nobody knows my real name. I apologize.
And now we do.
Yeah. All right, Marco, what you got here? Do you agree with Pam that it's going to be a washing of the floor with Dakota Zimmerman? Because, we don't know anything about her.
She hasn't even got a Wikipedia page. this is a glorified sparring down for Mrs. Gibbler. So I'm
going
to give it to
Mrs. Gibbler. Oh, we have to keep that. Mrs. Gibbler.
So I'm picking Melendez for second round KO, TKO.
Okay.
There's no point of analyzing this, right?
All right. Sorry, I just brought it up because Tony wanted to talk about it. Tony,
who's your mama?
There it
Guys,
is.
Guys, I will say this. I have met Carrie-Anne Taylor Melendez twice in San Jose, and I've actually run into a relative. Very nice family, very nice young lady. I've actually seen her in person. She really is an attractive lady. Gibbler was right there, and I went straight to Gibbler to take his hand. There's no way was I going to, you know, goof around. But Carrie-Anne Melendez, guys, is a legit kickboxer.
Yep.
We'll see what happens if she has to go to the ground. Obviously, she trains at El Nino. Shout out to El Nino Training Center, 2920 3rd Street in San Francisco. I've been there. So I'm going with Carrie-Anne, second round TKO, because she packs a punch in the mythical flyweight division for the UFC.
Okay, guys, and just give you the odds. I mean, it's as we've been saying, as Marco said, it's not worth talking about. I mean, Carrie-Anne Melendez is a minus 1050.
For real?
Yeah, Dakota Zimmerman coming back at us at a plus 675. I mean, I think this is going to be across the board just Carrie-Anne Melendez. I mean, it's her fight to lose. But, I mean, as we don't have any information on Zimmerman, we can't say anything else. I mean, maybe Carrie gets it done early. What did you pick, Tony? Did you pick a round in method?
Sorry, I said second round TKO. And Dakota Zimmerman is not bad on the eyes, guys, but we don't have a lot of information on her.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to say Carrie as well. I'm going to take her by first round finish TKO. Okay, guys?
Bellator is going to Bellator.
Yeah, Bellator is definitely going to Bellator. And, you know, they're not going to shy away from putting Mrs. Gibbler into any kind of fight that they can put her in. Okay, guys, listen. I wanted to talk about some news. I know we're running long, but I think there's a lot of news that we needed to talk about this week. Pam, I'm not going to include you in this particular segment because neither of us want to talk about it. But Marco and Tony, there was a press conference in New York with, you know, your boy, Pam, and the real champion of that division, Khabib.
Who the fuck is that guy?
It kind of turned into a mess, Tony. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, that it was just an advertisement for Conor McGregor. So, Tony, let's start with you. I know you're a hardcore fan and you're going to watch it anyways, but do you think that the casual fan is more interested by seeing Conor McGregor up there with two belts and a fucking bottle of whiskey? Sorry.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm probably the only Conor McGregor fan here. I get it. And I know that he was acting strange. Maybe he was on some, you know, magical dust. Who the heck knows? But clearly it turned into an ad for Proper 12. So good on him. But I thought the whole thing was really strange, Marco. I don't know how you saw it. I thought the entire thing was Conor was trying a little too hard, I think. Shout out to him, by the way, for getting his Proper 12 whiskey. I mean, clearly he's going to sponsor.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Tony. Do you think this fight is like less. This fight is just over a week away. Do you think that particular press conference was any kind of selling point for anybody? I mean, yes, we're going to watch it, but do you think the casual fan was fucking ready to do this shit now because Conor McGregor was up there with two belts and a fucking bottle of whiskey trying to give a guy who doesn't drink alcohol some alcohol? Like, what's going on here?
No, you're right. I mean, it was a debacle. But apparently, Marco, if I'm not mistaken, 5 million viewers watched it. I understand what you guys are saying, but McGregor does get the look.
Well, I have just a quick question and something that I was thinking about, too. Why does Dana plan these press conferences with guys that can't even fucking speak English, for heaven's sake? I mean, Khabib,
they
got to
promote it, right?
Some English, but
Yeah, but, you know, come on now. Anyway, I'm not.
Marco, what do you got on this one, brother? What do you got here? Because I don't want to spend much time on this. I know it was a big news story, but it just seemed like a debacle to me.
Okay. First of all, yeah, McGregor doesn't speak English, just Irish English, not American English. But that is another story.
Hey.
Okay, 500,000 people watch it live on the UFC YouTube feed alone. Not counting the Fight Pass feed and all the other feeds as well for MMA Junkie, MMA Fighting. They all broke records. And when they did the final count, the total views after the fact, yeah, Tony's right, 5 million views on YouTube. So that is nothing to sniff about, you know? Yeah, Conor promoted the channel of Proper 12. And good for him, you know? He's getting other sources of income. Because that's what you're supposed to do when you got a brand. You're supposed to promote yourself. Conor gets it, man. I watched the whole thing. It was dark. One thing I had to say about Conor, he comes prepared. Because he got deep, deep knowledge of shit that the regular people don't know nothing about, you know? He went deep into politics of the Eastern Europe. He went deep on the personal life of Adlia De La Cisa. Why the hell are you interjecting yourself on the conversation, Adli? You know, he called him out big time. Conor comes prepared. He does his homework. Having what to do because, you know, the language barrier, whatever. It was interesting. I wish there was a crowd there, you know, a light crowd for reaction. It would make it a little more special, but for a little term purposes, it was a success, dude. I mean, you might want to hate all you want to hate, but the numbers don't lie. A lot of people watch it live, and then a lot of people after the fact watch it again. So this thing is going to do pretty good, man. And I cannot wait for the fight. We're going to talk about the fights next week, so we're not giving picks right now. But for an internal purpose, it doesn't work for me.
That's right. Hold your picks up because we're gonna revisit this on next Thursday, of course. It's going to be a big card, UFC 229. Look, guys, I'm not shitting on the fact that it's going to be a big card. I know it's going to be a big card. If one of those two guys in the main event don't make it, that co-main event is going to get broken up and somebody's going to be in that main event because that's why that's there. And I'm excited for it. I really am. I'm really excited to see what Conor McGregor can do against Khabib. I don't believe that he can get into Khabib's head. And like you said, Marco, you know, Conor McGregor did dredge the bottom of the ocean to try to find something that would, you know, affect Nurmi. And I don't know if it really did. You know what I mean? Like, you can bring up the fact that there's genocide in that country, and I think that's fucking low-hanging fruit. And, you know, Conor can go F himself for that one as well. Anyways, let's move on because there's something more important that I want to talk about besides McNuggets. John Jones was reinstated. He's going to be able to fight in October, Marco, and I'm going to start with you. There's a lot of issues here because this particular USADA decision was very drawn out, and there was not a lot of information about it. I mean, if you compare it to any other decision, I mean, anyways, Marco, let's throw to you because this seems to be a hot topic right now. And, of course, Tony, I'm just going to bring the fans back to the fact that we've been talking about this for 2 years. You brought up the fact that we should not be impressed with USADA, that perhaps they were a little bit corrupt. And, you know, maybe this decision, Marco, I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe that's kind of what coming to light right now. What do you think about this decision that John Jones is coming back retroactively suspended?
Okay, so, you know, I haven't been the biggest supporter of USADA. I've been very critical of USADA. But I'm going to be fair on this. First of all, there was not a USADA decision. It was arbitration.
Right.
A little bit
that's
it's
exactly
the better arbitrator. It's the better arbitrator that handled the decision. This was done by the book. And what I say about this was done by the book of the USADA regulations. John Jones agreed to, quote-unquote, you know, give information that might lead into
I mean, I don't know if that's really confirmed yet, Marco, because there's a lot of...
It is part of the final resolution of this arbitration.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you how this works because I work on the legal system. When you agree to cooperate, it doesn't mean that it's going to work in the future. It means
sure.
that whatever what at the moment that you got the sentencing, this is what he gave you, I already squeezed you for all I needed to know, and that's all you're going to give me. So
yeah.
If they're telling you he's going to cooperate in the future, forget about that. He already gave everything he knows, and everything he's going to throw under the bus. So don't expect anybody on the future to get busted. Maybe look back a little bit who has been busted. You see what I'm saying? He already
yep.
gave everything. Yeah, he already gave everything out. And everything, like, that is why when he said he needed to cooperate, because he already cooperated. He already been, all the reforms have been verified. That is why he got the agreement. When it comes to the procedure, everything was done by the book. And people are getting bad
sure.
about it. That why is he getting, like, different sentences? Because by your set of regulations, if you cooperate, they will reduce your sentencing. They offered the same deal to Mirko Krokop back in the day when he, you know, when he actually said, hey, I put HGH on my body because the doctor told me, and they said, you're going to get 2 years, but if you give us someone, we'll just give you 6 months. And Mirko said, no, he said he's 2 years, and he left. But it's part of the deal. And that is how the cake is baked. And every single legal procedure is not the freaking test that it's going to get you, it's when we can flip somebody to give other people up. That's why people compromise all the time. And I see it all the time, dude. I saw it for 8 years in the Army. People will flip to get lesser sentencing. USARA got the same procedure, and that's how they got Lance Armstrong. They didn't get it for the testing. It's because people flipped and gave him up.
Yep.
And when it comes to John Jones, let's not be so quick to say that he's going to be ready to fight at the end of October. He is still going to get reinstated by the California State Athletic Commission because they revoked his license. Pending USARA's suspension. So that is why we're not going to see John Jones fight probably until late 2018 or early 2019, because he's still going to get his license reinstated in California. So for all intents and purposes, we're going to serve about 18 months without fighting. And then I'm glad he's back, but I'm not going to lie. I want to see the guy fighting. Hopefully he'll get a third match with Daniel Cormier and make Daniel Cormier make more money, all the money he deserves. That's all I had to say for that.
Yeah, because Marco and Pam, I mean, it was suggested that John Jones would be getting that Alexander Gustafsson fight, but that doesn't seem like it's happening, Pam. So, you know, do you think that Cormier's fight is going to happen? Because I kind of do, man.
You know what?
Hang on one second. I know we're talking about Brock Lesnar. And we're talking about DC, and we had that whole debacle in the cage when DC won the heavyweight title. But I think John Jones' fight makes more money. Pam, what do you think?
This is what I think. I think, for all these people that call DC, you know, a paper champ, because John Jones was fit not once but twice because he cheated. Now, you have DC that has gone on to defend the belt numerous times. And not only that, win another belt in a different weight division, and now he's fighting Brock Lesnar. DC has said himself that he's going to retire by, 40? What is he, 39 now? And
by March.
Yeah, so if he – March is 5 months away, or about 5 months away. I don't see the need for him to fight. You know, people say, oh, he needs to, to prove. He has nothing to prove. What does he have to prove?
He does.
You know, people are sitting there calling him a paper champ. And if you're going to call him a paper champ, then you need to call Khabib a paper champ. And then you need to call Valentina when she wins the belt. You need to call her a fucking paper champ, too. You know,
Tony,
so for money,
I
think he retires.
Now, you know why I think he still fights John Jones? Because he's going to make a shell lot of money with Brock Lesnar, and then they're going to offer him another
I don't even think they do that, Tony.
John Jones. Hey.
Tony?
Go ahead. Yeah, Marco, I don't think they do that either. Listen, Marco, there's no doubt about it. You know the justice system, and you know what's probably legally right. But let's be honest, guys. Are you guys forgetting what happened with Brock Lesnar? Right? Oh,
I'm not.
The test should take longer. And we know that John Jones needs to fight for the UFC. So, to be really thinking that John Jones is giving up people and that's how he got a lighter sentence, really? Are we really buying that, guys?
I'm not.
If that's the case, I have a beautiful orange bridge that people call Golden Gate Bridge that I'd like to sell to you guys as well.
Now, let's just thought like how Connor got punished for, you know, jumping the ring, and so we took him off that card.
I know, Pam. It's very reminiscent, and it's unfortunately the state of the sport right now. But it's like, you know, they don't want to do movies with big movie stars because they're going to sell – they want to put in, like, a transsexual person that is actually a transsexual person to – portray a transsexual person. That's fine. I have no problem with that, but you guess what? It's not going to sell nothing. And that's what we're trying to do here. We were discussing how Conor McGregor is a champ, and he's selling his own fucking whiskey, but because he's a good businessman, it just makes sense. Look, I don't agree. I don't know what happened with this USADA thing. We had Jeff Nowinski going on Joe Rogan, and I mentioned this earlier on in the show when it was going on, that, you know, it didn't seem to make sense that John Jones was cheating. Look, I don't know what the truth is about John Jones. I don't have to like him as a person, but I do enjoy the fact that he's a great fighter, okay? I don't enjoy that Kobe Bryant was a nasty person either, but he doesn't take away the fact that he's a good basketball player. And that's what I was judging him on, as his performance in his athletic abilities. I understand that there are terrible people out there that do terrible things, and John Jones may be one of those people. I said this back when John Jones had this charge come out. I wanted to wait to see what happened with the proceedings. He has been cleared. He has done his diligence, apparently. Whether or not that system is corrupt, I don't know, because I'm not there. I have no way to prove that. I'm glad to see him back. I'm very excited to see him back because he's a great fighter. And I would rather see Daniel Cormier, John Jones 3, than I would rather see Brock Lesnar, Daniel Cormier, anything. I would just rather see that. So, look, we got to wrap this show up. Last thing I want to bring up, Leslie Smith. It has been reported that Leslie Smith's charge against the UFC, which she posed in that particular region that she was fighting in, her case has been thrown out, Marco.
Oh, wow.
This is exactly what you had said would happen. Her lawyer has gone on record as saying that this particular thing he's never seen happen before. And, of course, Marco, as you mentioned, you know, the president that you guys have, he's friends with, the boys over there at the UFC. Just quickly, let's go ahead and talk about Leslie Smith and her plight and the fact that this has just been thrown out. Margo, go, quick.
Don't know too much about the case, so I think
it was reported on MMA Junkie first. Just let me quick. MMA Junkie first. I saw the article on Bloody Elbow. Go ahead, Marco.
Okay. Don't know too much about the case. If the case had the swing, because probably didn't have any merits, and if the case doesn't have any merits, they throw it out. It's the way the system works sometimes. Like I said, I'm not well informed on the merits of the case or the basis of the case, so I'm not in position to form an opinion right now. I know she was trying to.
Okay, fair enough.
I kind of sprung
this topic on you guys. So if you're not, if everybody's not willing to speak on it, I will, and then we'll go to our Twitter follows. Anybody want to speak on this one?
No, so I don't think we're really versed on this yet.
Okay. So,
the one thing that you guys have to understand is that Leslie Smith, listen, I think everyone likes Leslie Smith. She lives in my county, for goodness sakes. And everyone makes a big deal out of Lucas Middlebrook, but the fact of the matter is that the National Labor Relations Board dismissed the complaint because there's not much there. Now, would this be the same if it was Daniel Cormier? that was perhaps fighting this or someone that had money or someone that had clout. Leslie Smith was a 500 fighter that was a little bit
ranked number nine, though, brother.
Sure. If you call 13 and 12 a top 10, sure.
Well, but, I'm not. I don't make the rankings.
No, I understand, and apparently neither do actual media folk, because UFC does what they want to do in terms of rankings. Isn't Honda still top five?
Yeah, and I think you just said it right there, brother. I think you just wrapped it up right there. The UFC does what they want to do. Go ahead and finish your point, though.
No, but my point is, if it would have been someone that had more clout, maybe it would have gone somewhere, but at this point, we've seen everybody. Kung Lee, we've seen various people come out and try to fight the UFC. It's going to be tough unless you have money, guys.
Yeah, and I think that another thing, because you brought up Kung Lee, I think it's very interesting to point out that Dana White was in court, you know, testifying within the past week, and you know, it didn't look great for Dana White. Anyways, guys, let's go ahead and get this show over with. Pamela.
Yep.
If you have a Twitter follow, or if you have a guilty pleasure, as Marco likes to say, of the week,
my guilty pleasure, 90 Day Fiancé. Oh, my goodness gracious, what a lovely train wreck it is. I love it.
Sounds like an interesting show. Tony, what you got going
crazy
on, brother? Are you there, Tony? Are you live?
I'll tell you what I got, guys. You have to be proud of Brendan Schaub. This was a fighter.
I don't have to be at all.
That Rogan basically said, hey, listen, it's time for you to retire. Didn't look good in his last few fights, but this guy has made a career, guys. He has a talk show now on Bravo. He's doing his comedy. Give it up to Brendan Schaub, at Brendan Schaub. Shout out to Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, I don't have to agree with that at all, but thank you very much, Tony, for throwing that out. My Twitter follow of the week is, of course, going to be my boy again, 76. You know what, man? He came on the Twitter and checked on me, make sure I was okay. This guy doesn't have to do this. Follow him at SVNTY6. He's making music over there, guys. I know it's electronic music, it's hip hop. If you're not into that, that's okay. But he's a producer out of the UK. I recommend you check him out, because he does do a lot of great music. And of course, we featured him on the show before. So mine is 76. Thank you very much, 76. I appreciate you. 70-76. Marco, close the show, brother.
Shout out to Brendan Schaub, the Little Devils podcast,
no,
Spider and the Kid, Bravo, Showtime. The guy's killing it, man. That is blueprint for fighters to have a successful career after the fact. Oh, and he did it, Ronda Rousey. They just went, whatever. So, my guilty pleasure, I rewatched Black Panther on Netflix a couple of days
ago.
Good
movie.
Awesome movie. You guys go and check it out. It's free on Netflix if you got Netflix. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow producer at Produce. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow me at Maldon Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast. Rate and review us. Like, okay, we're on iTunes, Google Pick, Blog Talk Radio, you name it. We're on all the platforms. The fight on Bellator are on DAZN.
They're on fire.
They got a 31 free trial, so try it out. Watch the fight. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys the trick. Enjoy the fight.
Thank you, Marco and Pamela.
Yep.
Just like that.
We are out of here.
We out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.